mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it.
Cold enough out there for you folks, except for two. I mean, I know we have loyal listeners who are everywhere, but the bulk of them are in the great state of Wisconsin, many of them in the southeastern Wisconsin area.
Not so great right now.
And it is chilly. Chew, did you hear how cold it is here in Wisconsin today?
Let me see if I can get my cameras on, and that'll just tell me how, because if my cameras work, it's not that cold.
Oh,
no,
what? What an interesting barometer you have.
So it if says, your camera in Florida is operational, it's not that cold.
No, he's looking
up here
at his Wisconsin cameras.
I'm looking at my Wisconsin cameras, and currently it says temperature is too low. So it's cold there.
See, I thought he was having difficulty with his camera on the YouTube stream.
I love that he doesn't trust you and I saying it's cold. He's like, let me get to the robots.
Yeah, there's no temperature here, Chewy. It doesn't exist.
It is 0 degrees today.
You know what? Listening to the intro, because we're going to stretch right now. Okay? It's cold. We'll get a little stretch in. You guys on board for that?
If you got something to stretch, we'll stretch it.
So the intro got me thinking about just things in life. So they're Kramer was talking about his license plate being the ass man.
Yeah.
And mimicking a proctologist.
Sure.
Do people know their tools out there in certain situations? Like if you're a financial advisor, and I've seen this before.
Okay.
If you're a financial advisor and your license plate says making money, you're a tool. Would you agree? Can you believe that my gym down here has to have a sign that says no tripods allowed in the gym?
Awesome.
Now, if you're setting up a tripod to watch yourself work out, you're a tool.
I guess the only thing I'll say about that, Chew, is a lot of people have monetized them doing
their
workouts.
No, I'm not
workouts.
Talking about, no. Gabe?
Yeah.
I agree. I'm talking people that just
that are just doing it for themselves, yes.
Because my Dyson down here's roommate takes pictures of himself in the gym and posts it on Facebook. You're a tool.
Okay, two things I want to get down to here.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I feel like if you're a tool...
Yeah.
Generally speaking, you don't know or recognize that you're a tool.
Correct.
Right? Like, generally speaking, because if you knew you were a tool or that you were being associated in the tool community, I feel like you would change the behavior that has gotten you admission, that has earned you admission.
I mean, some people just like to, maybe somebody just wants to live the tool lifestyle.
Which is
really
fine.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm guessing, I would say 10% of tools know their tools and don't care and choose to live that lifestyle.
So I can kind of, I can live with that. That's fine. If you choose to be a tool, that's perfectly fine. It's the people that you tell what you're doing makes you a tool and they ignore that. Which I know a lot of people that are like that.
Well, it sounds like, Chew, you've taken upon yourself to be the you're a tool guy, right?
Well,
not you're a tool, but I have noted behavior in you that makes you a tool, and I'm going to tell you about it.
So what's the difference between, because these words I think are closely associated, but I don't think that they're necessarily related, because I would call you a meathead, Chew, right? The way you like to lift weights, the way you know you injured your elbow because you're doing 315 on the bench.
Are we going to get an update on the MRI or what?
I haven't got it yet. I wait until today.
All right.
Until my doc gets on. I'll let you know.
Bated
I'll let
breath
you know.
When he knows, he'll let it. But
keep
like.
Going. I totally agree
so
with you.
So you are a meathead.
Yes.
And not all meatheads are tools, but some tools are meatheads. Like, where's the line of demarcation there?
Well, if you wear a tank top and you're a meathead, you're a tool.
Ah, that feels.
I'm anti-tank top.
I know you are, but just because someone wears a tank top at the gym doesn't mean they're a tool.
But it's not.
It might be a. It might be a qualifier, but it is not. It isn't automatic.
But every tool wears a tank top.
So this is like the square rectangle. Uh-huh. Thing.
Okay. All right, got another one for you, Jen.
Like, I'm thinking. Me. I am picturing, by the way, Sean Astin in 50 First yeah. Dates. That's
that
what
was
I am picturing.
A mesh tank top, famously.
Me and Angie going to breakfast yesterday, right? Probably 73 degrees out.
Suck it.
Biker. Not rum, 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 rum.
Not a motorcyclist, but a Lance Armstrong bicyclist.
Nothing on but spandex. Tool.
I think also the cyclist part of that. Is spandex just generally tool? If you're
no,
only
I think the spandex, but you
but
have
the spandex
to wear
plus
a
the cycling.
Shirt with it.
Like, is it all yeah. of that that made it a tool?
I'm just saying, this is my Bible.
I mean, I'm guessing, if he was at breakfast and he's sitting there in his spandex, he also has the funky shoes that like yeah. clip into the bike.
Correct.
Yeah. Like, there's no way
clips.
Yeah. yeah
there's no yeah. way.
The butt pad too that makes you look like you're wearing a diaper.
All yeah. right, so Gabe, you nailed it. I'm a meathead. Jen, yeah. you go. Yes. What are my some tool-y aspects?
I don't know. I wonder if tool is more of a dude thing. Like, you guys have the antenna up for tool behavior.
For tool behavior?
I'm not sure I've got that radar.
What radar
well,
you
guys have a different, you guys are under a different set of rules. It's when 50-year-old women dress like 18-year-olds. And there's a lot of those around. I'm like, stop dressing like your daughter who's a senior in high school.
Are you attacking me right now? Is that what's happening?
No, I'm not saying.
All of a sudden,
well,
Jen, you got to send a message here. You're not getting the hint. Stop dressing like you're a teenager.
No, you're not 50.
Ah, correct? but you know, I'm that mountain man on
Price is Right,
yodeling her way up there.
But do you know what I'm talking about? Have you seen? You have to. Well, maybe you're oblivious to it. I don't know. I'm not saying you dress like that, but there certainly are hoo-has out there that do.
Whoa!
I feel that's a strong word.
This is an aggressive Monday. Usually I'm used to like a 4 from Chew. He is up
well,
to...
Well, my goal is to help people out.
Oh, sure.
Now, if they don't want help, I can't do anything about that, Gabe.
Nope.
You
can try to
it.
Help, and it's up to them whether or not they want to accept that help.
Am I a get-off-my-lawn guy? Yeah. Am
especially
I going to
change?
No. Get off my lawn.
I'm just curious again about what is tool protocol or tool qualifications, if you will. Because obviously we talked about the gym behavior, and I agree. Like, but does it extend outside the gym? Is it like parking lot? Can you be in the parking lot and behave like a tool? Can you be at the grocery store yeah. and behave like... So what are some of those things that if you encounter them in the wild, that would be tool-y behavior?
Bravado is a big part of it. Masculine energy that you feel necessary to exude in every situation, regardless if it calls for it. That would be one way I would describe it. If you walk with your arms out too far, like you can't keep them down.
Yeah, because your lats are just yeah. too huge.
Like there's a rubber band holding them afloat. That's one of the things.
I love this.
Kind of walking
this
like.
Might be the best. Yes.
It's also a style of dress. You can look at somebody and go, like Chewy was illuminating there with the... I think the car you drive and the way it looks also can make you a tool. Like, do you have some super extravagant, expensive truck that you're definitely not doing truck things in, but you think you're badass because it's lifted up and has cool tires?
And you being from Maguanago should know that very well.
I could paint one from memory. I've seen so many of them.
It feels like Josh has been waiting to have this conversation. The way he just came prepared with an itemized list and just nailing every qualification.
Yeah, Hold on. Do we agree with that one, though? The 5'7" guy that's got, you know, 48-inch tires or 70-inch tires on his truck, raised up, the pipes coming out the top of the roof of that, right? Yeah. That's a
so,
tool.
So yeah, and then he jumps out in a suit.
Yeah.
Or he's,
So what I'm struggling with here is a lot of these behaviors and characteristics that you guys are describing, to me, fall under the douche category.
Mm-hmm.
I am trying to figure out the Venn diagram now of the douche and the tool, and there appears to be some overlap.
Yes.
There appears to be...
Yes.
I don't know if it's significant overlap, but can you see the Venn diagram I'm making with my hands on the old YouTube stream?
Nope, doesn't make any sense.
Does it look like testicles?
We get the idea.
Anyway, the point is, how do I know if you're a tool or a douche?
The douche is more doughy. I feel like a tool is more in shape.
Really?
Is somebody who has a certain style about them. A douche is... They can go anywhere, but there is overlap. You can be both a douche and a tool.
See, douche to me, for whatever reason, my brain goes finance. My brain goes to the finance space.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like all of those finance people. Not all of them, but I feel like that's where some of them
exist.
Yeah.
Because they're chasing the money.
All right, Joshy, what about the guy who comes up to me spouting how much he knows about football when he really knows nothing?
Oh,
what is
that?
What's that?
It's just annoying.
I've had that before. No, is that a tool or a douche?
I think that's more douche.
Okay.
Because it's like going to the subject matter expert and being like, hey, I know just as much as you look at me.
Yeah, I know you dedicated your entire life to this thing, and you played in the league for a very long
time. But I watch on Sundays.
However, I've been watching since I was a kid.
Yeah.
Oh, well, welcome to being a woman in sports, guys.
Yeah.
Happy to have you. Let's chat. It's like when Chase was like, I know more about sports than you. And I was like, why? Because of your anatomy? You're just born with like this encyclopedia of sports. I'm sure it has nothing to do with the 20 years of experience I have in the industry, but I digress. So we're trying to nail down the difference between a tool and a douche. Chewy feels like he has encountered a lot of tools lately, but it sounds like it's mostly at the gym. If I'm picking up what he's putting down.
That's because he doesn't go anywhere but the gym.
Hey, I'd rather have you say it than me say it.
I mean, if he's encountering tools and douches within his own home, he's going to have a bigger problem.
But I will say this. There are tons of more douches in the gym down here than there is in Wisconsin.
Well, is that just because... That's just kind of the natural. I mean, there's just more douches walking around in Florida, period, right?
It's
like a sheer numbers game.
It's the vanity of South Florida, or Florida as a whole. So now
we're nailing it. So vanity has something to do with these kind of groups as well.
Yes.
There's an arrogance.
You don't put on a tank top unless you get a little vanity in you.
How about setting up a tripod in the gym?
It's a whole phenomenon.
Sounds like that's really gotten under your skin, huh?
Well, the fact that it has to be printed out and put on the door blows my mind.
Well, because that means there have been some issues, right? Like somebody who's trying to set up a tripod and do it, and someone's like, I don't care, and walks through the middle of their shot to get to the free weights because that's the quickest route. And then this person gets upset because, well, you just walked through my shot. What are you doing? And then, to avoid that whole, interaction, ban them.
I think we could start a website up where someone's not sure if what they're doing is tooly or douchey. He can go there and go, oh, okay, I'm a douche.
that's impossible because the tool doesn't know they're a tool. They couldn't self-report.
I think there's obliviousness happening on both sides.
See, I don't think with me, though.
No, you're a meathead.
Because I'm fully aware.
You're fully aware of your meatheadedness.
I think all of these things have one thing in common, and that's if you're too laser focused on one part of your life or one interest of your life, you will fall into one of these categories. If you're not diverse enough, if all you are is a guy who goes to the gym and cares about being at the gym, people are going to be like, it's a little much. Just relax. Like, have some other interests. I think that is the big thing centered here is if you're not If all you want to do is talk about going to the gym and being at the gym, people are going to find you annoying.
Okay, I got some good reaction rolling in on the Carbless Talk and text line, guys. Listen to this from Jeremy in the 920. Tool ranks on the dork spectrum. Douche ranks on the narcissist spectrum.
I really think that's insightful.
Because, yes, when I think of a douche, there is something about that, like, arrogance. There's, like, a way you're carrying where it's like, ugh. Tool, you're a little more like, to me, it aligns more with dork than it does with
other side. That is very good. You know what? This might be the most useful segment we've ever had on a Monday. I feel so much better going into this.
Wait, useful?
You don't think so?
What am I going
to
do?
Who? Maybe the Drew says, I hope there are people out there listening to the show this morning that fit this criteria, but they have no clue. Hopefully this is a wake-up call for those who need it.
This is like, okay, and I think we had this conversation on Friday with the father that pushed the two young kids playing hockey, Jen.
Yeah.
If you have this, with me and you talking, Gabe, are you here or do you take day off that day?
Yeah. I was not here.
Shots
fired. If you have to sit there and think and go, are they talking about me? Then you should realize, yes, we are talking about you. You are one of those people. Am I right? If you got a hiccup going, are they talking about me?
Could they be talking about me? Is it possible that they're describing me or someone like me?
Yeah.
Mark in the 262 says, Tool owns the obnoxious truck. Douche does burnouts and rolling smoke in the parking lot. I think that that's referring to the zzz, right? Spinouts, burnouts, whatever they're
donuts.
Called.
Donuts.
Yeah.
No, I mean, rolling coal, if I can go back into my McGonagall here, is the way your engine injects a certain level of gas into the engine, and it will produce more smoke than the other. So there's not necessarily a burnout. It's just accelerating.
You got to weed whack yourself for that, buddy. That was the most weed wacky thing. Thank you.
But you know what you noticed here? Joshy didn't get sensitive when it came to McGonagall like someone else kind of did when we talk about their town.
Well, it's because I don't identify.
I'm just saying. With, that's all I'm saying. I'm just
I don't
saying.
Identify with McGonagall more than I just lived there.
I do. I mean, I'll identify with them all day long.
But you just mentioned Josh. You took out my entire town.
I don't think I took him out.
You did.
I think I helped you out a little bit.
Very least sideswiped.
Hey, because Gabe, you are above the line of demarcation, okay?
Is this a compliment? What is happening here?
I don't know what's going on. I'm terrified
I think the line of demarcation used to be Highway 33. Now it's Highway 60.
Oh, we're talking about a literal line of demarcation. I thought this was some sort of like Gabe had evolved beyond your perception of his hometown. Like I thought it was a philosophical thing. No, turns out you're talking about an actual highway line of demarcation in the state of Wisconsin.
Because we had this battle with one of Dyson's roommates in college who lived in Wausau, and they didn't believe that Wausau was up north.
Yeah, Wausau's up north.
Wausau is up north. And this kid talked blue in the face, saying, no, it is not.
So here's what I'm willing to offer this
morning.
So
what's your line of... I still don't understand what the line of demarcation is.
Highway 60.
What, anything past Highway 60 is up north?
Above. No, that's line of demarcation. That's like you use a lot of Adairs and Yacht Air and all that.
Highway 60 is like still southern Wisconsin.
I'm saying, Gabe, I don't make the rules.
You just did!
It seems exactly what you just did. If I were to rewind the tape.
We need to go to break.
Getting yourself caught up in your own little web is what's happening here. I was going to say this. Here's what I'm willing to offer this morning here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. If you want to write in to the Carbless Talk and Text line and ask if a situation is a tool or a douche, we can use Chewy's vast expertise in this space, and he can tell us. It'll be like knighting. I knight you. Either Sir Douche or Sir Tool, because I got somebody on the talk and text line, Dave from Aaron, who says, older gentleman pulls up in a 1986 Corvette drop top, double parks at the grocery store because he thinks his car is still hot.
Douche.
That's exactly what Dave from Aaron thought as well.
I was about to say, you didn't even have to finish that one. Everyone knew. Everybody knows. Everybody has a picture in their mind of the guy who drives that car too, by the way.
You guys
shirt's a little too tight.
You guys were worried if we were going to have content today because there was really nothing going on.
I got a lot on the Four Nations face off.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff actually on the show. Okay, so we got the Four Nations face off, All-Star Weekend in the NBA. Apparently Giannis is willing to do the dunk contest going forward. So says he. We'll talk offensive line of your Green Bay Packers. Josh Jacobs was saying nice things about Jordan Love. We can get into that. Lots to get to this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy as y'all try to stay warm out there.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Though, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like a, oof, like just, instead of a, huh.
Yeah. But that's all part of taking the training law.
I do, but it's just such funny noises.
Did this get sexual or something? I don't know about it. What the hell just happened?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Another day, come on,
in on the Carbless Talkin' text line, so go ahead and keep getting us your reaction and your questions, your inquiries. If you are curious if a certain behavior that has gotten under your skin is tooly or douchey, Chewy will go ahead and give you the decree.
I do have a text here from the private talking text line. From somebody who's really enjoying this, but did notice this on the stream, so had felt that the question needed to be asked. Jen's hat is crooked. Is that a douche move?
No.
But it's not intentionally crooked, right?
Like, but how does anybody know that?
Do you think I intentionally am walking around
CeCe
like...
CeCe Sabathia?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. Is
Ronnie,
I mean,
Belliard?
Is it really crooked, my hat? I didn't even know.
That's just...
I'm staring straight at you. I couldn't tell.
Oh, all right. Well, good to know.
That was a question that was asked.
So crooked hat is a douchey slash...
How about...
Yeah. White sunglasses.
Well, yeah, how about on the back of the head, man? The time I see people wearing their sunglasses on the back, and you've done that, haven't you?
I have, yeah.
But is that a baseball thing?
That's a golfer.
Yeah, it's like a golfer baseball thing. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, let me ask you another question with hats, though. I've got a peripheral friend who's probably 62 that wears a flat-brimmed hat, and he looks like a tool.
Douche.
That's What's the douche? Age limit on the flat brim?
Oh, you got to be a kid.
Yeah.
So, well, but the second you turn 18,
you guys 18? Can't even decide which it is.
Like, Kyle Shanahan looks like a douche on the sidelines. I'm sorry. Dude, you're probably 40-something years old. Don't wear a flat brim hat, right? That's age appropriate.
That doesn't bother me.
I think he looks like a douche.
Well, I think that's just because you're anti-Kyle Shanahan.
I think
you're the Kyle Shanahan 49ers aspect is coloring your opinion.
I think it's just his face.
I think flat brims on anyone over like 25, you're like, man.
I agree.
Okay, so over 25.
So
okay.
Now we've got the flat brim that goes into it. All right, I can appreciate that. We also have people who want to weigh in on where up north is. According to Common, iconography? Is that map?
Iconography?
What is that?
No, that is not. That's cartography.
I know that. What's iconography?
I don't think that word's being used in the proper tense or in this situation.
All right, hold on. Up north is often defined as anything north of Highway 29. However, people here in Wausau consider up north anything north of Highway 8. The commonality of geographic, again, he uses this word, iconography, I cannot with this word, proves this fact. You can map it. That's from DJ in the Saw. Are you looking up iconography?
Yeah, and it means exactly like what I thought. So it's the visual images and symbols used in a work of art or study or interpretation of these.
Exactly what you thought it meant?
Yeah, because icon, like, you know, your computer has icons. So I don't know what the iconography has to do with delineation of maps and up north.
Keep getting us your reactions and your inquiries. Crooked hat, totally douchey. That from Jeremy in the 920. It feels like the crooked hat is a thing. I had no idea.
But here's the thing. Like, CeCe's not a douche, though.
No.
He's one of the people that, like...
Well, let's be... All of these things, when applied to professional athletes, professional athlete walking around tank top, meh, makes sense. You're an athlete. You're getting paid to do this.
There's another category where the crooked hat is fine, and that's farming, because there's a lot going on. You got to start this tractor up, and then you got to hook the trailer up over
but
here, and you got
more,
a lot of things going
but Chewy,
on.
But, Chewy, that's more like the hat just kind of ends up, like you've taken it off so
it
many
can,
times.
But it,
you know what I'm saying?
It can
so it's
be
like
crooked
not even
too,
on
Gabe.
Your hat. It's like barely on the top of your head. That's what I think of like a farmer who's like frustrated that has a lot of things going
also,
on.
Also, some people are just cool.
That's true.
Yeah, you're right.
Like CeCe Sabathia, cool.
He's cool.
Cool guy.
Yeah.
Also, if we're talking about baseball players, like Ken Griffey Jr. famously wore his hat backwards. That bothered some people, but for the most part,
iconic.
It was considered,
You know who it bothered? The olds.
Mm-hmm.
I know, but hold on. Here's the problem. Is there an age limit to that? Because I wear a backwards hat sometimes because it's comfortable, but do I look like a douche because I'll be 56 years old?
Yes.
Well, why didn't you tell me that, idiot, while I've been doing it for the last 4 years? See, that's something that just
slipped by
me. Isn't
that what your kids are for?
My kids do it so I look like a douche. It's the opposite effect. They want their dad to look like a douche.
Sam weighing in saying, everyone who overuses the word bro. Chew, give us a ruling.
Say he uses bro.
It's well, I got the Blammers also has a nickname that's bro.
Yeah, when you go, bro.
Yeah. So if it's a nickname, I think that's
the best blammer you've ever done, Jen. That is by far the best blammer.
Well, to be fair, it's not really me doing the blammer. No. It's me doing
Chewy doing the blammer.
Yeah.
But the blammer will sometimes wear suspenders and looks like a total douche.
No, suspenders aren't douchey.
Yeah, no, especially if you're an old guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just sweet.
That's just, that's part of, sometimes it's part of the outfit.
The best is suspenders plus a belt, strap those pants on surgically tight.
But what if it's a fake costume? The guy thinks he's a farmer. He couldn't grow grass.
Wait, is he wearing suspenders or overalls? It sounds like we might have a confusion here.
No, suspenders.
Huh. All right. Listen, we still have stuff to get to this morning. So
wait, suspenders over the neon shirt? I've never seen him in anything but the neon shirt.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But he's so old, it's like,
Well, that's the thing. I got to be honest with you guys. I think you can age out of all of this stuff. I think you hit a certain age and it's like, nah, congratulations. You've made it this far.
Yep. Do whatever you want.
Yeah. All right. Okay. All right.
Yeah, like an old guy wearing a flat brim hat will be like, okay, have at it, buddy.
Listen.
Good for you.
You might be doing some things wrong, but you're doing more things right.
Right. So just have at it. You're in your 70s. I don't care.
All right. Okay. We will take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I teased some of the stuff that we do want to get to. I also want to talk about Jair Alexander and this article that Rob Domofsky did about the team. Is it Joshy? The team or the franchise? Somebody was upset with Jair.
Unnamed sources within the team.
We will get into that right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
How do you get to 10 in NFL in the football game? How do you do that?
You can have 5 safeties.
That's a great point.
Which would also be a great endorsement for Derek Carr.
2 field goals, 2 safeties.
2 field goals, 2 safeties.
Also a great endorsement for the quarterback. Continue. Yes. What else do we have?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Chilly Monday morning here in southeastern Wisconsin. And maybe chilly is the way to describe the relationship between Jair Alexander and the Green Bay Packers. Rob Domofsky doing some work over the Valentine's Day weekend. And it's basically that there was frustration, which I guess is not breaking news. I think we all have eyeballs and we could see that there was probably frustration between the Green Bay Packers and their cornerback. Part of it is how much money Jair is getting. Part of it is how much Jair played. Part of it is some of the behavior in the past that has been annoying or frustrating. But obviously, the Packers have a decision to make about Jair. And what I said to you guys earlier this morning, it is really interesting to me that there hasn't been any definitive outcome here. That nobody has been able to say, yes, the Packers are moving on, or no, they're not going to move on. They're going to run this thing back. And just like, so there's a lot of mystery right now surrounding the Jair Alexander thing. So, Chu, I'm not sure if you got to see the article, but what you have been vocal about Jair Alexander over the last few years. What is your biggest frustration with the Packers cornerback?
The fact that he does not play unless he's 100%. And teams hate paying guys for when they don't play. I think he gave, what did he play, 7 games this year?
Yeah, I believe that's correct.
I mean, that's terrible. This is just a broken record. It's the same thing every year. And let's not forget, at the end of the previous season, Jair and LaFleur supposedly had sat down, and we believe that LaFleur said, look, you get one more chance. We're fed up with you going out there and donning yourself a captain for this week and just doing stupid stuff like that. So my guess is right now they're trying to move him quietly with no takers. So I fully anticipate when the optimal time from the cap is to cut him, they will do that.
Yeah, just because, I mean, his base salary next year is $16.1 million, and that's something that somebody, if they traded for him, would have to absorb. With his inavailability, he's played 14 games the last 2 years. Nobody's going to want to trade for that. You're going to have to release him. Somebody will give him a chance, certainly next year, just not at that number.
Is there a bonus, Gabe? Is there any
$267,647 bonus. So significant for most people, insignificant in NFL dollars. is the roster bonus. He's got a $700,000 workout bonus if he shows up to off-season activities. But usually, like, roster bonuses are the things that push that decision as early as possible. It's not a significant roster
bonus. And this
bonus
is a shame because it's one of the draft picks that Goody nailed. You know, he was an all-pro, hell of a player. But he's a problem. He's a problem. And like I said, teams do not want to pay players for sitting on the sideline, and that's what this guy does.
So right now it looks like it's Keyshawn Nixon, who obviously had campaigned to be the number one guy headlining that unit. You also have Eric Stokes. There's other, obviously, players that we have talked about here in the cornerback position. How do they go out and get I just think it's hard to go find a Jair Alexander. So, like, is anyone who takes over that position going to be an automatic downgrade? Or two, in your mind, is availability, that even if they're not as talented as Jair, them being available is an upgrade automatically because they're on the field, you know, weekend in and weekend out?
Well, I think the first thing I have to do is really evaluate Stokes, you know. And my guess is there's not going to be a huge market for him. It's whether he wants to get a fresh start, whether he wants to come back. You know, because if you do lose Stokes, who's an okay player, he's nothing special, but then, I mean, do you roll the dice in the draft? Because the draft is a crapshoot. And do they draft the guy in the first round that can come in and play immediately? Because if not, you have to go out and get two guys in free agency, not huge money guys, but guys that are proven and guys that can play. Because the problem with the cornerback position is your D-line is so bad they don't create any pressure, so those guys are on an island that much longer.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Gabe, how would you like to see this shake out?
I think this is only going to shake out one way. They're going to release him. He will be released. They'll save the $6 million against the cap. So sometime in the next 2 weeks,
this
probably happens.
Do you think they're quietly shopping him now?
Yeah, probably.
To try to get something for him?
Yeah, but nobody, like I said, nobody's going to want to pay him 16, because that's the part that you would have to absorb, right? You're absorbing that 16.1 mil, so that's what you would have to pay. I don't think anybody's going to want to pay that money up front, because that, because he's been in the league long enough, that becomes guaranteed day one of him being on the active 53.
And then with the follow-up, then, from a downgrade standpoint, it's a downgrade at the position?
Yeah, I mean, not having him, absolutely. Absolutely it's a downgrade.
Oh, yeah.
But if he's only playing 7 games a year, you're playing without him anyway.
But the problem is this, and he's that type of personality. He will steer his way to Minnesota or Detroit or Chicago and probably play well, and then he's going to blame the Packers for everything. We are never on the same page. They didn't let me do what I wanted to do. I'm a bump and run guy. Blah, 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 blah. That's the problem. Because he's still, like Gabe said, still a really, really good corner. Just doesn't play.
Okay, so I hear what you're saying stylistically, but one of the criticisms of Jair has been, at least lately, since the injuries have started to mount up, that he doesn't tackle. And I know there are going to be people out there who are like, have you watched cornerbacks in the league? Mm-hmm. Do you watch the NFL? I get it, but like, there is a part of me that feels like Jair is sort of existing right now on reputation alone.
Mm-hmm.
He was a second-team All-Pro in 2022, his last full healthy season. His last fully healthy season, where he played 16 games, he was second-team All-Pro. The last two times he's been healthy, that's what he's been. Second-team All-Pro. He is that good. Like, if you put him out there, yeah, doesn't tackle the way he used to. That was a shoulder injury that he suffered in 21 that kind of prevented him from stopping being that physical guy. Just hasn't been that same guy since then. But he's still really good in coverage. Like, we saw it. We saw it again when he had the interception in the playoff game against Dallas a couple of years ago. Like, he's a guy that can be a disruptor in that defensive backfield. Personally, if he hasn't really been a malcontent the way he was at the end of last season, for the $6 million you save, I would bring him back and roll the dice. Because I think he can be that good of a player if he stays healthy. But, I mean, what Rob is saying, I mean, Rob's not going to put something out there that isn't true. I mean, this points to me, this kind of, okay, signed, sealed, delivered, this guy's getting released.
The closest comparison I have to him, Jen, is Wayne Simmons. Right, Wayne Simmons didn't listen to Mike, was on his own program. He listened to Fritz, but that wasn't good enough for Mike. And, you know, I've heard it throughout the years. A lot of people say, if and it's kind of true, if we had Wayne Simmons for Super Bowl 32, it might have been a different game. Might have been a different game because Seth Joyner, who was a hell of a player back in his day, I mean, he was an all-pro. But he was like 33, 34 when he came to us, and it was done. So, and Mike just couldn't take it anymore. And that's why they shipped him off to Kansas City.
So just to be clear, here is what Rob Domofsky is reporting on ESPN.com. There are strong indications Alexander's time with the Packers will end without him playing another down. Multiple team sources have privately expressed their frustration with Alexander's inability to stay healthy and or play through injuries. You'll notice there, Rob doesn't say frustration with his character, his behavior, his antics. His, you know, like, he's not saying that. He's saying it is about, I think there were times, at least over the last year, that they thought he could go, that they thought he could be out there. And he just said, I can't. And when the medical staff might be green lighting you to play and the player is red lighting it and the team and the coaches are game planning with you in mind, I think that's when the frustration starts to mount and going, man, okay, but the medical staff said you could go. Like, we think that you're on the road to recovery. We think it's going to be a this many week injury. And I think that's probably what it's contributing to. But I do think it is interesting the nuance there of Rob doesn't say, in addition to him designating himself a captain and going out there and us not seeing eye to eye on scheme. Da, da, da. It's like his inability to stay healthy and or play through injuries.
So with that being said, Jen, do you think he could get blackballed like Bakhtiari? Because we all thought during training camp Bakhtiari was going to hook on with another team, and there was crickets. There was nothing.
Yeah, I doubt that, too, because he at least played seven games. Like, Bakhtiari played once and then had the injury again. Like, he's had so many operations on that same knee. That's obviously what scared teams away. That they thought, I mean, how many times was it, like, two or three seasons in a row? Okay, finally figured out what's wrong with Bakhtiari. We've got a plan for him. Everything's going to be good. And then he played the one game, played it really well. And then, oh, turns out the knee's an issue again. He had to have another knee surgery. I think that's what scared teams away from that was, okay, how many times? I mean, it was like the boy who cried wolf, but the boy who cried my knee is healthy.
But there's going to be scared teams out there, too. They're going to be, if Jair thinks he's going to get 20-something million to go to another team, he's crazy.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Because teams are going to be like, hey, we'll start you, you know, how about an incentive-laden contract?
Mm-hmm.
We'll pay you $8 million base with the ability to make it up to 18, but we're not writing you a blank check to play seven games. I mean, he's...
Yeah, there's going to be whatever contract he gets. Yeah, they're going to be per game bonuses, maybe, you know, probably all pro, Pro Bowl, things like that.
So Gabe is saying that for the money and the familiarity, he wouldn't be against running it back again with Jair. What say you? 800-990-3776. I think, Chu, you're on the side of it's time to move on. It's run its course.
I just hate the fact that you're because, like we said, if he's healthy, he's a top five player on this team.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Maybe a top three. You hate losing. And the thing that's, like I said, going to pain the most if he goes somewhere else, figures it out, fresh start, and does well, that's going to hurt.
And I will say this, like, there are frustrations that exist sometimes, like, but hopefully you can overcome them. Obviously, Matt LaFleur going face-to-face with Jair at the end of last season after everything that went down and saying, like, hey, man, we need a different version of you. Well, we were talking about, like, the antics, the personality, the behavior, right? Doesn't seem like there was any issue. Like, the only thing that rubbed people the wrong way was that at the end of the season, he chose not to talk, and he said some flippant line about how he wouldn't have anything good to say. You know, and people are like, whoa, come on, man. Like,
All right. So what is a guy who goes out for the coin toss as a captain when he's not really a captain? Tool or a douche?
Why don't you tell us? You're the expert on this.
I think you're a douche.
I was leaning towards Tool.
Because he doesn't know?
Yeah. Yeah, because
he doesn't know that he's a tool.
Yeah.
But that doesn't really fit into the whole Tool is a dork and a douche is a narcissist that we talked about earlier in the show.
Ah, Yeah, he's a narcissist. All right, he's a douche.
Okay.
He's a douche. Thank Jen. Jen just cleaned it up for us.
I was just telling you, you know, we had set that parameter earlier. We all agreed
we had
that
rules.
We liked that portion
we did have
of
rules.
It. Okay. And there are people who are just tuning in who are going, what the hell is going on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy? Welcome to the show. We'll take a break. Roll on right after this. Get us your reaction to Jair. Let's see. John weighing in the 414. It's not hard to find a guy who will play seven games. The guy only showed up for seven games. He's not that great. He had one great season, and everybody thinks he's Dion. He is not. We can move on.
That's
we will move
true.
On right after this.
From the biggest plays in the court to the comments made in the locker room, after an in-depth recap of every Bucks game in 6 minutes, no more, no less, it's Bucks in 6 on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. If you missed any of the game or just want to relive the biggest moments, Bucks in 6 provides game recaps every morning after. Hear the high-flying dunks from Giannis or the deep threes from Dame and catch the comments post-game about what happened on the court. It's Bucks in 6 on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. Find it now, bucks.com/plus or on Apple, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What we need is a chart. Mm-hmm. And every week, we take the shirtless picture of Chew, and we move that to wherever the prediction is of how many wins that they
six,
have.
Eight. Six.
Seven.
Seven. I think that's how it goes now, right?
Eight, and they six, lost, and he's seven, saved. 5309
on 94.5 ESPN.
Sure to give credit where it is due, Rob Domofsky's article does not just address Jair Alexander. It talks about a lot of the free agents that the Packers are dealing with, and he goes through each one, who they should let go, who they should release, who they should re-sign for cheap. It is definitely a worthy read if you're a Packers fan, which I assume if you're listening to the show, you are. Lots of reaction rolling in on the Carbless talk and text line. Jair is a selfish person who doesn't need to be a Packer. It seems like he doesn't want to be one either. Go play with Aaron Rodgers. That from Don in Mayville. And Joshua, you had a strong reaction to John in MKE, who said that everyone thinks Jair is Deion Sanders and he's not.
Yeah, no, and there was a one good year only in there. Jair was good for large parts of his career, and he's been great when he plays, even though it's sometimes seven games per season. Like, he's great every time he's out there. That's just what it is. I understand what Gabe says, hey, maybe stick with him, give him another year. I think run its course is where we're at with him. I think Jair probably will be better served somewhere else, and it probably will be one of those things, like Chewy said, once you move on, you kind of figure out, like,
there's a refocus.
Right. It's a recalibration. And I don't think that's going to happen in Green Bay. I think he is where he is with Brian Gutekunst, with Matt LaFleur, with whoever's on that defense there, where it's just run its course. And I think he might play a few more games, but I think this is just who Jair is. He doesn't feel comfortable playing when he's not 100%, and that's always going to be a thing for him. So if he manages to avoid injury all season, he'll be great for the season. If he has a nagging calf, hamstring, shoulder, whatever it is, those are going to be things that plague him.
It's a $6 million gamble, and I think it's worth taking the gamble on a team that doesn't have enough star power already. Like that's and it's not like if the Packers were strapped for cash and, they got to get below, they got to do this, they got to save money. No, they're healthy with the cap. Like, they don't need the $6 million cap savings that it would take to release him. So that's where I just come down of, to me, it's worth the $6 million risk. Maybe if it was bigger, if it was $15 million, that's something you can do something with. That significant amount of money that you can go and get a difference maker who's going to be a starter on your team. For the $6 million, to me, it's the gamble that you can still get something to work and maybe he's a little bit more healthy and you get 13 to 14 games out of him next year.
Gabe, that makes him more tradable, though, because a contract isn't debilitating, you know? It's not like the team that's going to get him is going to have to take on, you know.
Well, they got
$40 million in guaranteed money.
It's guaranteed.
If it's only a $6 million risk, they should be able to move him.
It's a $6 million risk for the Packers. Whoever would take him on would have to pay the $16 million. That's the base salary. That's not guaranteed.
We do have a reaction rolling in, guys. Chef Ed says, despite the ego, if he's healthy, I want Jair on this team. So there are people who support him as well. Dave from Aaron weighing in saying, we need an elite pass rusher. And if you keep Alexander this year, the last year of his contract, hopefully the pass rush will help the secondary. I do agree that this team has more pressing needs, although cornerback is a position that they will need to address no matter what. I think the Jair situation shakes out. I still think they need depth at that position, and I'm not sold on the guys that they have. But my only hesitation, Joshy, with what you said was, if he gets an injury, if he gets a hamstring, if he gets it, it's the freaking NFL, man. Like, yeah. Chewy, everybody you say by the end of the year, everybody's playing with something. Yeah. Everybody's got something. And it seems like his line in the sand is, I'm not playing unless I'm 100%. And Chewy is saying, that's just not a reality. You know, and they keep extending the season, man. So now you're playing 17 games. Nobody makes it through, Chew, if I'm hearing you correctly, injury-free, hurt-free. You're dealing with something. You just got to push through it.
Yeah, I always talk the first day of training camp, you're 100%. Even if you play the entire season without a serious injury, you're not 100%. You're like 92% because you can't approach the weight room the same. You don't eat as well. It's just different. So I don't know. It's just it's hard because, it, like Gabe said, it's $6 million. But, I mean, enough is enough. You know, this guy's had five chances. I think they need to move on.
Did you just throw your pen?
Yeah.
Seems the Packers aren't the only people frustrated with Jair. Lots of stuff to get to. An hour or two of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.